Okay, good morning, Calvary Chapel.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, youth and I are excited to serve you guys today, and you've seen us all over the place so far. And the good thing is, or a better thing is, that we baked some cookies for you guys, so we're going to have some coffee and cookies after this service. You bet. I'm going to get you guys to turn with me to Romans 1, verse 8. While you're turning there, I'd just like to introduce myself just a little bit so you guys get to know me a little bit better. I'm currently attending Steinbach Bible College. I'm in my last semester there, and as part of that, I'm doing an internship here at Calvary Chapel. So that's why I get the privilege of speaking here today. I'm married to Amanda Penner, and we have a beautiful six-month-old daughter, Jade, and life is just really good right now. It's a lot of fun. I've been working with youth for about 6 to 7 years. Ever since I was in high school, I taught Sunday school, leading youth, and I really loved it. I really love working with youth. And I think the biggest reason why I love working with youth is just because I recognize it's such a pivotal time in their faith journey. You know, it's a time where you make your faith your own and you start to step away from what your parents believe, you know, and you start reading the Bible for your own. And I just see youth doing that, and I think it's amazing. It is truly amazing to see the youth grasp the truth of the Bible and just apply it to their lives. And I know that youth have lots of faith to do big things. And when they read it and they believe it, like, youth can just give up so much to do things for the Lord. And it just makes me really excited. I've learned lots from youth over the last couple of years. And one of the things that I've been challenged by is just in speaking. Speaking is not a natural ability of mine. But I desire to bring glory to God today through what I have to say. And I'm really excited to as well. So the main idea I want to get at today is how faith encourages faith. I hope for us to be challenged together to grow in our faith, as I will be going through three different pieces of scripture which will teach us and equip us to grow our faith to encourage other people's faith. So I'm just going to pray and then we'll get into the scripture here. Jesus, Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. And I just thank you for this opportunity, Father. I just pray you would help me to be faithful, Lord, as I speak about your word, Father. I thank you, Lord, that your word lives, Jesus, Father. I pray, God, that you would speak to me, Lord, as I speak, Jesus, Father. Would you just have an encouragement for us all here today, Lord? I thank you for bringing us here safely today, Father. Amen. All right, so Romans 1, verse 8, and I'm going to read a couple verses here. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of the Son, is my witness to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests. If perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So I want to highlight verse 8 just another time right away here. And it says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. And this is an amazing statement of the church in Rome. It makes me wonder what a church must do to have faith that people would talk about in the entire world. Do we, the people of Calvary Chapel, have a faith that is talked about outside of this church? Why or why not? And I would love to equip us with a tool to grow our faith today. But before I go any further, I think it is important that we define the word faith a little bit better. So, faith relating to God. means the conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. Faith relating to Christ is a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Verse 12 contains a powerful tool that will help us grow in our faith, I think. And it says, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. It surprised me the first time I read this, that the Apostle Paul, of all people, would be encouraged by someone else's faith. We see the Apostle Paul as a mighty missionary who walked through so many tough times, proclaimed the Savior almost everywhere. Yet he looks forward to being encouraged and to encourage the people of the Roman church. I remember many faith stories people have shared with me where they saw God move powerfully, where God did miracles, where God answered prayers, and it absolutely grew my faith. I understand firsthand when Paul said it is encouraging to hear other people's faith and to share stories to build others' faith. This is my challenge and heart for us, Calvary Chapel. May we be a church that shares how the Lord has moved, is moving, and will move in our lives. May we boast in the Lord for all he has done for us. As I unpacked Romans chapter 1 further, I noticed 7 things about Paul's faith that we can all apply to our own faith lives to help build us and others up. And they are, point number 1, we need to preach and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I found this in verse 9. Paul often calls himself a bondservant of God. He is fully dedicated to living his life for Christ, and nothing would deter him from this. Number 2, we need to submit ourselves to the will of God. I found this in verse 10. Paul wanted to visit the Roman church, yet was unable to. It seemed like God was preventing him, but he yielded himself to God's will for when he would go visit them. Number 3, we need to build people up in Christ. Found this in verse 11. Paul longs to impart spiritual gifts to the church. He wants to build up gifts in the people there. He wants to encourage them. He wants to see them functioning in their gifts. Number 4, we need to be encouraged in our faith. Found this in verse 12, and we're going to keep coming back here throughout the talk today. Paul says that he wants to encourage a church and be encouraged by their faith. He wants to come to Rome, and he wants to hear stories of their faith and how God is moving their lives, and he will be encouraged by it, and we can be encouraged too when we hear stories of faith. Number 5, we need to recognize our mission from God. Found in verse 14. Paul says, I am under obligation to both Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. The Lord gave Paul his mission, and was to preach to the Gentiles, and he did this, and he did it with his whole heart. Number 6, we need to not be afraid of people knowing we are Christians. And found this in verse 16. And Paul just says it just really clear and really powerful statement, and he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's nothing in the gospel that he's ashamed of. He would stand up for it in any circumstances. Number 7, we need to know that God makes us righteous through our faith, found in verse 17. And it says, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So when I look at Paul's life and the faith he lived by, it reminds me of when Jesus heals the demon-possessed boy in Matthew 17, verses 14 to 20, which is our second piece of scripture today. Jesus really sets the bar for faith in this passage, and he sets it really high. And if we are able to take to heart Jesus' message, I think we will be amazed how our faith will grow. I am not sure if Paul ever heard or read the story about Jesus healing this boy, but his life demonstrates a faith that certainly could move mountains. So I'm just going to read this story now. Matthew 17, 14 to 20. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and he is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. So this is an amazing story. And there are a couple of things that stand out to me. One of them is Jesus' rebuke here was quite harsh. Yet I think it is a great wake-up call for us. Jesus is directing the statement to the crowd of Pharisees and non-Christians, but I'm sure that it impacted his disciples as well. Jesus charges the crowd with unbelief, yet certainly lots of them have witnessed or heard many of Jesus' miracles that would certainly have promoted belief in the Messiah. Are we sometimes guilty of the same thing? Do we struggle to believe in Christ, even though the vast amounts of miracles and words and truth he spoke in the Bible that we can read? Some of the miracles that the disciples would have witnessed before this event was Jesus healing lepers. He healed the Roman soldier's servant. He healed Peter's mother-in-law from a fever. He casted out demons. He walked on water. He fed 4,000 from a couple of loaves and fish. And this is the Jesus who says we can do the same things as he did like that. But the point really is, though, how much faith does it take to perform these miracles? It amazes me how much faith that Jesus said is required to walk in the power of faith. It's a mustard seed. A mustard seed. And I did a little bit of research on the mustard seed. And I don't want to read too much into the text what Jesus might have meant when he said the mustard seed. But I did research on it, and I think there's three really cool points that we can pull out about the mustard seed that can help us understand faith a little better. So the size of a mustard seed is 1 to 3 millimeters, and that's tiny, tiny, tiny. And it is amazing to think that a little bit of faith can do huge things for the kingdom of God. The tiniest bit of faith. It would make a lot more sense if Jesus would have said, you know, like, you need elephant-sized faith to do big things. And we would understand that, you know, like, faith the size of an elephant, and we're going to move mountains. But that's not the case. It's a mustard seed. We need a little bit of genuine faith, and we will see the Lord do big things. Point number two. The mustard seed germinates amazingly quick. And it can be seen sprouting often after one day. And the growth in 5 days is just phenomenal. I watched a little YouTube video, and it was just really cool to see the growth of it. So, mountain-moving faith can be grown almost instantly. It is amazing to hear testimonies of people who turn their life to Christ, and the Lord just changed their lives, and they'll go back to their friends and tell them about what God has all done in their lives, and the friends just won't recognize what happened to them. Their life is so changed. There's been so many mountains that are moved. And the Apostle Paul had a faith like that too. He was persecuting Christians, and the Lord met with him, and then he came to preach the gospel of Jesus almost instantly. So the point is that you don't need to be a Christian for 20 or 30 years to have faith to do big things. You just need to have, you need to believe in God with a little bit, a mustard seed size of genuine faith, and you will see big things happen in your life. The third point here is that a mustard seed can grow in really harsh conditions. And that's really cool because I think faith can also grow in really harsh conditions. And the truth is that I think faith often grows better when the conditions are a little bit harsh. And I've been on a few missions trips and worked with lots of kids. And it's just amazing to see the faith of some of these kids. You know, you can tell they love Jesus and they love worshiping him and stuff. And you get to know them a little bit better and you talk to them and you find about their home life. And their parents may be alcoholics and their parents abuse them and they're 10 years old and they have to look after their siblings and they have to feed them and take care of them. And in these circumstances, they still have just a vibrant faith and they love Jesus. And in that, like, in those harsh conditions, like, we just, it is amazing to see their faith grow. It's really, really cool. So, if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, what are we able to move? And the answer is mountains. Not literal mountains, but quite honestly, the figurative mountains that are to be moved are a lot higher and a lot harder than a real mountain ever would be to move. Think back to some of the mountains God has moved in your life. Maybe it's the person you thought would never be saved, and they gave their life to Christ, and they're just a powerful witness for him now. Mountain moved. Maybe the Lord healed you from sickness, even though the doctor said there was no hope. Mountain moved. Jesus died for us so that we may have eternal life. Huge mountain moved. The Lord healed you of an addiction. Mountain moved. Now I want us to think back to Romans 1 verse 12. And it says, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. So the point is that by sharing faith stories to one another, we will build up and encourage each other to grow in our faith. The faith stories may start small. For example, maybe the Lord provided for the next month's groceries. So that might be like God moving Abe's Hill in your life. Little mountain moved. Next, God might move Mount St. Helens in your life. This might be getting healed from an addiction. Next, God might move Mount Everest in your life. This could be the friend or family member you have been praying for a couple years who accepts Christ. And then boom, God moves the whole Rocky Mountain range in your life. And this could be God using you to change a nation for his glory. The question is, what mountains is God moving in and through your life? And how can you encourage others by sharing these stories? So I would like to turn to the third and final piece of scripture, which talks about a forefather in our faith. In Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul unpacks the faith of Abraham. And it's such a deep, rich chapter about faith. And there's just so much good stuff in there. Just really blew me away. But Abraham just sets us a great example of how we ought to believe in God and testify to others about him. So let us read in Romans 4, verses 18 to 25, right at the end of the chapter there. And it says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. So again, I'd just like to highlight some points from this story. And the first one, when it seems like there is no hope, we can still believe in Jesus Christ and his word. When it seems like there is no hope, there is always hope. There is always, always hope in Jesus. Abraham was 100 years old, and had thought it would be impossible for him and his barren wife, who never bore him a child before, to have a child in their old age. But God did it. Abraham believed, and God answered. And the thing is, the answer might not come right away, and it might not even be the answer we thought it would be. But God is faithful, and God will move in our lives. Number two, God does not see our emotional, intellectual, or physical conditions when he calls us to a task. He sees our spiritual attitude, and he sees our faith. So if you have faith for God to move in your life, it doesn't matter how smart you are or how dumb you think you are. It doesn't matter where your health is at. You know, Jesus sees if you're ready to work for him, and he will equip you with what you need to work powerfully in his kingdom. Number three, Abraham was fully convinced that God can do whatever he promises. And in his faith, he brought God glory. You know what? So I just want to encourage you guys, like if God has given you a promise, believe in it. Believe in it. Just believe in it. Because God will not go back on his word. He will not go back on his word. And the fourth point here. And I think this is the best part about Abraham's story. And that is the part that we're included in his story. And it says that we will be counted righteous, just like Abraham, if we have faith in our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Abraham didn't have the Bible like we do. He didn't have the New Testament. He couldn't read about Jesus. But God spoke to him, and he believed. God told him to move, and he moved. And he took up his family, and God said, "You have a child." And he said, "Okay, I believe." And it's just amazing that God spoke to him, and Abraham believed, and through that belief, it was credited to him as righteousness. So through our Bible, when we read the Word of God and we believe in it, and we have faith in it, like, God will count us righteous before him. I think that's really powerful. So the Bible is full of great stories and testimonies of faith. Faith grows from hearing the Word of God. Faith also grows from hearing the testimonies of one another. Faith encourages faith to grow. In a little bit, Taylor and Aaliyah are going to share a story from their lives that has taught them to believe in God and what he is doing in their lives. These stories are the perfect demonstration of what faith encouraging faith looks like. So church, I hope you'll be encouraged by their stories, and I hope it will stir up stories of faith in your own life. And I hope that you'll be encouraged and challenged to share these stories of faith with other people around you. You going first?
Is it? Yeah, it is. Okay. I went on a missions trip this summer with the youth here. And we all went to Sistan, South Dakota with an organization called Youth Works. One of the jobs we had to do there was community service, which ended up as painting a small church outside of the city. Once we got there, one of the leaders handed us a few paintbrushes, a can of paint, and left. So we just walked in, picked the wall we wanted to paint, and started. As I was painting, it was looking horrible. I stood back to look at everyone else's, and theirs was looking bad, too. Sure enough, everyone just started complaining. "I can't do this. This looks horrible. Let's just stop and go and tell the leader that this paint is not working." Most of the people in my group, including me, were embarrassed for when that lady was going to come back and see our paint job. Then Ken, one of our youth leaders, stood up with a word of encouragement, and I think it was the Lord. He told us that God has called us here to serve this community. No matter what our paint job looked like, we needed to serve with a joyful heart as unto the Lord. That was so encouraging to me that I stood right back up and went straight to painting. In the end, as the paint was drying, it started to look somewhat nice.
Hi, my name is Aaliyah Taylor, and I attend this church at the youth group here. This summer, I went on a youth conference called Consumed in Thunder Bay, Ontario. There, at the youth conference, one of the activities there was you could either go with the group and tell others about Jesus on the streets, or you could go and you could bless the community by cleaning up graffiti or cleaning up garbage. But I wanted to do something more than that, so I chose to tell others about Jesus. At first, it was really out of my comfort zone, and I was afraid to do it, and I was really nervous. Then after a couple of times our group did it, I realized that it wasn't actually that difficult to do it. When I got home, there was a new girl in my class, and my friends and I decided to become friends with her. So we hung out with her, and soon we were friends. Me and my friends could sense that she wasn't a Christian. So one day, me and my friends at recess, we shared our faith with her. She was really open to it, and we got really excited. Then I invited her to youth, but she was always too busy to come. Last week, I invited her to youth, but she was still too busy. Me and my friends are still trying to bring her to Jesus. And, yeah, I believe that God put her in my life because it's amazing because she lives just down the road from me and she's in my class and everything works out so good.
Yeah, so those are really cool stories. And it was really encouraging to be on the trip with the youth. And often in the evenings, we'd get together as a group and just debrief about the day, you know, and we just have time to testify and to share what the Lord was moving in our hearts and what the Lord was doing in us and through the community. And it's such a powerful activity. So I just want to encourage you guys, you know, like, faith encourages faith. When we share what the Lord is doing in our lives with other people, it encourages them. And when you're encouraged by someone sharing something, like think of a story that you can encourage them with and just spur one another on to good works. So I'm going to close with the last piece of scripture here. And it's a really powerful piece. And it's just, there's so much truth in it that nothing can separate us from God. Like, God is totally for us and nothing can separate us from God. You know, like we have a good God and we can place full faith in him and he will work powerfully in us. So Romans 8, verse 35 to 39. And yeah, just listen to this and just let it speak to your spirit. It's really awesome. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.